Hi, everybody. If you're going through a divorce, and you're like me, when I went through my first divorce, my son was young, and I was extremely, you know, worried about how he was doing and how I had to research what I had to do as a parent to make sure that he was being protected during the whole divorce process. But when I went through my second divorce, my son was 18 and he was going off to college, and I had no idea what I was in store for while he was away at college. But I didn't give it as much thought, if that makes sense. I didn't think about him as much as I did when he was younger. And my guest today is Karen Covey, and she's a divorce attorney and coach, and I think you're going to love her because she wrote an article that I just had to share with you. 10 surprising facts that parents need to know about adult children of divorce and what you need to know. So if this is something that you're going through, I strongly suggest that you stay tuned and listen to her, and let's learn what I should have done and how we help our children. Divorces are becoming much more common, and when our parents are older and we're older, we aren't thought about how can we protect our children. What do we need to know? They have a loss too. So let's find out what to do when this happens. So, thank you, Karen, so much for joining me.
It's a pleasure to be here.
So you have attracted me because you are not the normal divorce attorney. When I Googled something, I found your article on the adult children of divorce, and it's called The 10 Surprising Facts That Parents Needed to Know. And I went through a divorce when my son was, first of all, he was 8, first divorce, and I sure the heck knew that the lawyers are telling me what I have to do, what I have to know. But when he was 18 and I went through my second divorce, I didn't treat him the same. I didn't know any better. Now, he was leaving and going off to college, so I didn't have him in my space, and I didn't think about him off at college, what he might be going through. So your story about what we need to know, can you just give us a little impetus of why you created this and how you came to think about those children that might be forgotten?
Well, the way that it came to me was that I started to notice in my practice and in my coaching work that more and more people who were coming to me were baby boomers. So they were getting older and they had kids, and they would, you know, they really wouldn't pay attention to their kids in the same way that they would younger children going through a divorce. And that's not to fault them. I mean, nobody's looked at that before. The truth is, the demographic with the highest rising rate of divorce is baby boomers. For everybody else, the divorce rate is going down. For boomers, the divorce rate has doubled. So and their children are older. So the divorce is affecting their children in a way that the researchers haven't studied as much. No one's thought about as much. The lawyers aren't going to tell you, make sure you don't talk about your divorce to your kids. Don't, you know, shelter them from all the hard things. They're just going to say, they're adults, who cares, right? But I've seen the damage that gets done with relationships that are destroyed and take years to heal. And that's really sad. So that's what got me looking into this whole idea of, what do we do about the adult children whose parents divorce?
Right. And to me, again, this is what touched my heart about your article. And when I found it, I just dove into your blog. So I'm going to give you a plug here for anybody that is going through a divorce. Karen is not your average attorney. She is a coach as well, but she cares. And I know that all the people that are on my channel are always bitching about their lawyers and they don't care and they don't know. And I know that you do. And anyone that goes to your site can see that you've got compassion for both sides. You've got compassion for the children, and you stay up on the cutting edge of how this is affecting people. So thank you for all your work.
Oh, you're welcome. And what you said just, it really warms my heart, because I don't, you know, working with this, with divorce for so many years, I see the destruction that it can cause. And I also have had enough experiences where it doesn't cause so much destruction. There is a better way to do it. And the problem is, people just don't know it. If you've never been through this before, you don't know what to do. You don't know what to expect. And unfortunately, most lawyers aren't going to help you. They're going to help you through the legal end, but the rest of it is up to you. And there's so much more to divorce than just the law. So I really try to put things out there to help people, because it helps families, it helps kids.
Mm-hmm. And in your divorce coaching practice, I know that you're in Chicago. So mm-hmm. if a lawyer in Chicago, you'd be able to help. Could you coach someone that is somewhere else?
I coach people all over the country.
Okay. That's good to know.
So coaching is different than lawyering. Lawyering, you have to know the laws of the state that you're practicing in. And that's all you can, like, I can only practice law in the state of Illinois. But coaching, I can coach people from all over the country, and I do routinely.
That's good to know. All right. So let's get into what the 10 things are that are the challenges that older kids of adults that are getting divorced. What's the first challenge that they have?
Well, even though, you know, people, when you've got young children, you know to tell them the divorce is not your fault, honey. This is mommy and daddy's thing. It has nothing to do with you, because young kids internalize everything, right? So they think it's their fault. Older kids aren't going to think it's their fault in the same way, but they can feel just as guilty. For example, if your kids go, so many parents will wait till the kids go off to college and then divorce. It's like, well, we'll stay around for the kids. What they don't realize is then their kid's off to college and they call him or her up and say, hey, you know, just want to let you know, dad and I are getting a divorce, or mom and I are getting a divorce. And then the kid, who is not stupid, realizes that you were staying together just for him or her, and they carry enormous guilt. I mean, no child wants to make their parent miserable. You know, and if when they look back at their life and they say, my God, you just stayed for me, they feel horrible and they feel huge guilt. So you need to remind your adult children that this has nothing to do with them. And this was your life is your responsibility, not theirs. It wasn't, you know, if you chose to stay until you thought they were in the better place, that's completely your responsibility. And they, you know, they're not at fault for that.
Mm-hmm. And how do we help them to see that? I mean, we can certainly tell them, but
like, you tell them. And again, another thing that matters is how you tell them about your divorce. If you and your spouse can at least make a united front, which I know isn't always possible, and tell your kids at the same time together, the same way that you would do it if your children were younger, then, you know, you start to present more of a united front. And now it's not just you saying it's not your fault. It's, hey, we made a decision jointly together, you know, and so that gives it a little bit more weight. And another tip I give parents is, you know, your younger children, you'll see it more in them if they have issues, and you'll get them therapy, you'll get them to a psychologist, you'll get them the help they need. Well, you might want to encourage your adult children that if they're having troubles processing all of this, that's not a bad idea. And one way you can do that is to normalize it and say, hey, you know, this is a tough time for all of us. I'm going to counseling to help me get through this. There's no shame in you doing the same thing.
Right. And that makes a lot of sense, because we forget them.
Yeah. And it's not intentional. It's just, there's so much going on when you're getting a divorce to begin with, and your kids are, I don't want to say out of sight and out of mind, but they're not in your face every single day reminding you that they have feelings too, and that this divorce is going to affect them even though they don't live there.
Right. And I think your second one was that the divorce is their loss too, right? They are struggling because their whole sense of family, even if they're not living in your house anymore, it's completely changed now.
Yeah, the foundation that they built their reality on, that they built their world on, is now, they feel like the rug is being pulled out from underneath them, because everything they thought was solid, now they're questioning and they're saying, well, was that really solid? And they don't know, they've got to navigate new relationships with you and your spouse separately. And that's kind of weird and wild. And, you know, they don't know what to do. So they're feeling that loss in a lot of ways. And they're still, we'll get to this in a minute too, but they feel the loss financially as well. I mean, if they're in college and all of a sudden you and your spouse decide to stage the War of the Roses part two, what happens to their college fund? You know, so your divorce can affect them in a multitude of ways that you might just not be thinking about, but that it would be good to think about to help ease their transition, because it's a transition for them as well as for you.
Absolutely. And we can't forget that. That's so important. Yeah. I know that getting along with your ex is another one of your 10 things. And that is the hardest thing, right?
Of course it's hard. I mean, nobody said any of this was easy, right? But it still comes down to the same old adage. If you care about your kids, you will get along with your ex. You don't have to be best friends. You don't have to have like this super, you don't have to go on vacations together, but you have to at least be able to be in the same room together. I had a person that I know, we'll just put it that way, who got divorced, you know, who got, the parents got divorced, and the kids, their kids were now older and getting married, right? My, you know, the husband, the groom's parents had been divorced 30 years before. And these two kids who were newlyweds had to worry about, where do we seat them? They had to literally seat them at opposite ends of the room because the parents couldn't be in the same room together. I mean, they certainly couldn't sit at the same table together. And this bride and groom, who were a young couple, should have been enjoying their wedding day, spent it worrying about, is there going to be a scene at our wedding because mom and dad are in the same place? That is not what you want for your kids, right? So you kind of, no matter what, you've got to be the parent, suck it up, bite your tongue, and get along at least for the main events in your kids' lives and your grandkids' lives.
Right. When my son graduated college, now he was going off to college, but when he graduated college, a similar thing happened. I don't really talk to his dad. It wasn't hostile or bad, but I'm like texting my son on the graduation floor, and I'm saying, you know, are we going to take pictures afterwards with your cap and gown? Is your dad going to join us? And, you know, I could see his father across the basketball stadium. I could see him across the whole entire stadium. And my son said, no, you know, dad's brother really doesn't want to see you. So they're not going to come and take pictures. It broke my heart. Like, how much, like, seriously, we don't not get along, but you're letting your brother determine if you're going to take pictures of your kid in his cap and gown. That just hurt me so much. And my son is sitting there graduating and sitting there like, no, they don't care about me enough. I'm not going to see dad till 7 o'clock at night for dinner. You know, the whole concept to me was just like, I was horrified for him, because that's a very sad thing. It's the same thing as the wedding that you were discussing. It's you don't want to put your kid in that position to have. Say, okay, you know, if it's one thing if you both want to share him and do things, but that one day, just suck it up and be human.
Exactly. And make sure that your kids know going into the event that you can be the adult for that day. You know, because if they're worried about it, they're going to go through all kinds of machinations trying to keep you two apart. If you can, you know, on the front end, say to them, you know what? You know that dad and I or mom and I don't really get along so well, but for this one day, we are going out of our way. There's not going to be a scene. We can suck it up for a day. So don't worry about us. Enjoy your day, because that's what they should be doing.
Absolutely. Exactly. This is their day, and we need to be there to support them. I think the other one that might be on our list is that they are not our emotional support. And tell us what that means.
Well, it's hard, because when your kids are young, you don't expect them to listen to your problems. You don't expect them to be there to say, you know, oh, it's going to be okay, or hey, mom, you know, let's go to a movie today. Hey, dad, let's do this. Or, you know that you're supposed to be taking care of your kids. But when your kids are adults, you forget that. And so you expect to be able to call them and go on and on and on about how you're lonely or how you're depressed or how you're upset. And how do you think that makes your kid feel? They feel horrible. They feel like they are now responsible for you and for your happiness. And that's not true. You don't want to put that on your kid. Your kid has his or her own life and his or her own problems to worry about. They don't, if you need emotional support, and with all due respect, I think everybody going through a divorce needs emotional support. And the best way to get it, you make your own support group of family and friends and get a therapist. Cry to your therapist. Do not cry on your kid's shoulders. It just puts them in a really awkward position because they're doing it for you. And then they're like, what do I do with my other parent? It's really awkward. Don't do that to your kids.
No. And then it also brings up the next one, which is forcing your kids to take sides. Because if you're sitting there telling them the emotional stuff going on, then they feel that, oh, mommy's doing much worse than daddy. And that there's other elements to this, I know, with siblings, but look at how that comparison is. If you're forcing them because you're guilting them to make you feel like, I'm so sad and lonely. All right, let's go into the next one because I think that will really help clarify that.
Yeah, I think that, the other thing is too, you have a tendency, especially, and where I see this coming out a lot, is where one spouse either had an affair or violated the marital trust in some way. They were gamblers, they were addicts, they were whatever. And then the kids come to the parents and say, what do you mean you're getting a divorce? Why? And then it all comes out. And then because you want to be validated. You want your child to say, you know what? You were right to leave. Or dad was wrong to leave, or whatever you want them to say. And so you overshare. You tell them things that you shouldn't tell them. You lean on them for emotional support because you want them to take your side. Not on an intellectual level, but emotionally, that's what you're doing. You want them to think that you're the good person. And what ends up happening is then you're tearing them apart because what you have to remember is, even though they're adults, they're still your kids, and they are part you and part your ex forever, no matter what. So you don't want to put them in that situation of siding with you or which means siding against your soon-to-be ex. That's just not helpful for them. It's not healthy.
No. And I know that it can also turn siblings against each other. So if one, like the daughter takes mommy's side and the son takes daddy's side, now you've put your kids at each other.
Well, you've ripped your whole family apart is what you've done, because you've got mom and, one or two kids on one side, dad and one or two kids on the other side. And it's just a disaster. And what are you going to do during the holidays? What are you going to do when somebody needs help? What are you going to, that's what families are supposed to be there for. And you just created a total internal blow up in your entire family. It's just not good. And if you don't think that that won't spread to grandma and grandpa and the other relatives, and then, before you know it, you're going to have the Hatfields and the McCoys going on in your own family. And that's not what you, that's not good for anybody.
No. And I think too, if they're older and they've got children, now your grandchildren are having a different opinion of, grandpa and, the whole thing can trickle down to so many levels that we probably didn't think of before. So this has been so helpful to understand. I think the next one that you have on your list is the family home. And so often, if our kids are off and you have this family home that they grew up in, suddenly you decide, or you have to get rid of it. And we don't think about the fact that that could affect them because they don't live there. So we're like, oh, it's okay. But it does affect them, right?
Of course it does affect them. And now I'm not suggesting that, you make your financial decision about whether to keep the house or not based upon whether your kids are sentimental about it. if you have that kind of luxury to have the money to be able to do that, God bless. Most people don't, right? So it's not that you're going to make your financial decision about the house based on your children's feelings, but you need to be aware of your children's feelings when you're making that decision. So if you are going to sell the house, you need to sit down and maybe have a conversation with them about that, saying, you know, kids, the financial reality is neither one of us can afford this house on our own. It's a big house. It's time, you know, we were going to have to downsize eventually anyway. We're just doing it sooner, and make them part of the process. Make sure you give them time to get their stuff out of the house, because kids always have stuff in their parents' basement. I mean, you know, they don't even know they have stuff in your basement, and they do. So you're going to give them time to go out, you know, to get it, and maybe to take some sentimental things from the house, you know, that mean something to them. You know, it's not like you and your spouse have to divvy up every single piece of furniture and every dish and plate and pot and pan, right? So maybe give the kids a chance and say, hey, Daddy and I have decided what the big things are we're going to take. Is there something that you want? Make them a part of the process and try to include them, and that way they won't feel so horrible about it.
And it's like having a little piece of their childhood. My mother passed away a few years ago, and I have a lot of that's painting behind me is hers, and it calls my heart to know I have that piece of her. And I think going through the divorce process at that time too, instead of giving it to Goodwill and just getting rid of it, think of your children first.
Absolutely. Yeah. Definitely. And the other thing that people might not think of, take pictures of your house before it's all disassembled. You know, your kids will want pictures of the place they grew up. Someday they'll have kids. They can show the picture. You know, here's where we were. Here's this. Here's that. So before you dismantle everything, take pictures so that they can have them.
That's a brilliant idea. Create the memories. Maybe give them a little photo book to, you know, I don't know if that might make them sad, but, you know, when they're ready.
Right.
It sounds like it would be a good memory to treasure and to hold on to.
Yeah.
Because you don't think about that. I know that when this happens, the divorce can make adult children question their own relationships. And what kind of fears might they face? And why would it, you know, make them question their own relationship?
Because especially if they went through growing up and they thought their parents' marriage was okay, you know, then they lived their whole life thinking nothing was wrong. And all of a sudden to find out that not only was something wrong, but it was bad enough to create a divorce, to disrupt the entire relationship. All of a sudden they look at their own marriage or serious relationship and say, what don't I know? What's lying under the surface of this relationship that I don't think about? Is anything permanent? Is anything real? And they really start to have this kind of existential crisis that's very, very real. And as a parent, it helps if you can be aware of that and help guide them through that. And, you know, you're not going to be able to convince them that, no, you weren't living a lie for their whole life. It was just there were things that you chose not to share with them. But the good times were really good times, because they're going to look back and go, you know, was it real? Did it ever really happen? And you can, you know, you can advise them that yes, it did, and encourage them, but it also may bring up stuff again that they want to work with their own therapist on, because this is hard stuff. You know, this isn't easy.
Well, you know, with a narcissist, when someone is in a relationship with them, and it ends, the very true thing is that people just sit there and think their entire life was a lie.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what the kids are going through about their parents. So their foundation, you know, we might be going through that, oh my God, the whole thing, it wasn't real. But our children, adult children, are also questioning their own core, their family. Like, wait a second, I thought everything was good. I thought we were like, you know, the perfect family. And now look what happened.
Exactly.
Those fears are going to creep up. So the therapist is so important, even if they're older.
Yeah, this is really, I mean, this is world rocking for a lot of people. Now, for some kids, they'll take it in stride. I mean, if you and your spouse were fighting, you know, constantly anyway, and they saw that the marriage was going to, you know, that it wasn't good for them, maybe their world isn't rock. Maybe they're like, yeah, I saw this coming. But it's the kids that didn't see it coming that are really, really shaken by, wow, what is this? What's going on? They've got to sort of rethink their whole life and their whole reality. So they're the ones that often you think they'd be the most stable, but they take it really hard.
And you can see why, because if we look at it from our point of view and then from their point of view and put them into the equation of nurturing and making sure that they understand. And again, go back to number one, which is it's not your fault, and that we are, you know, we are working on this, and together as a family, we're going to make us whole, different, but whole, right?
Exactly. And, you know, that kind of runs into the next point, which is that your divorce rewrites their history. Because now they go back and they start to question, did we really have fun? Did that really, was everything that I lived through as I thought it was? Was it did I live the reality that I thought I was, or was something else going on? And everything in the world is a lie and everything is fake, you know? So those two concepts are all tied in together. And it's, you know, it's going to take your kids time to work through this for themselves and figure life out for themselves and come to their new kind of version of reality and their family history and what their family now is and how it's changed. And it's going to take them time to get through this. And that's another thing, you know, parents have to give their kids the time to grieve the loss and to heal, just like they need time to grieve their loss and to heal.
Right. Exactly. And, I know that, you know, the family, the holidays and things like that are never going to be the same, because even if they're married and they've got kids and they came to your house for Thanksgiving, now the equation is different. They're going to have to choose. They're going to have to shuffle around, mornings here, lunch here. You know, it's going to affect them in a lot of different ways. So holidays are never going to be the same. And how do we ease that? How do we make that work for them?
Don't put pressure on them, right? So think about it. If your kid is married, okay, so there's a husband and wife in the marriage, and if each one of the two people have divorced parents, now they have four sets of parents to make happy at Thanksgiving and Christmas and all the holidays. And you know what? Especially if the grandparents live in all different states, all different parts of the country or parts of the world, there is no way you can expect your kids to be with you on every holiday or to be with you for a meaningful amount of time. And the last thing you want them to do is to run around and go to four different houses for Thanksgiving and eat four dinners. I mean, they'll explode. So what you want to do is say, take the pressure off and say, you know, if you can talk to your ex afterwards and say, look, why don't you have the kids over for Thanksgiving to your house this year, I'll take next year. And then you can tell the kids, hey, you know, this year I decided I'm going to Tahiti on vacation for Thanksgiving. You spend the time with whoever you want to, have a nice day, you know, and you schedule Christmas with you and the kids on December 23rd one year, or on January, you know, 2nd one year, or you do something, you make it a whole different day, and that takes the pressure off of them to have to make everybody happy.
That makes so much sense. And I wish that even if parents weren't divorced, that we knew that information, you know, create a second Thanksgiving and have one over here and one a week later, because you still get that. It's the sense of family that's important. It's not the actual day. It's not the turkey. Yeah. It's not the pudding or whatever. It is the fact that you're there together. And so creating a new memory and taking that pressure off is such a brilliant idea that I wish we knew like a long time ago.
Think about how you would feel if you, like when you, everybody goes to the family obligations you gotta go to, right? And you're like, oh, just shoot me now. But you do it because you have to, and you don't want to feel guilty about disappointing somebody. well, what if you, it got to be your choice? It's, we're all so much happier when we can say, oh, I want to go to this event, right? So give your kids that same option, and you do it by living your own life and not relying on your kids, to go back to what we were talking about before, not relying on them to be your emotional support. Oh, nobody's going to be with me at Thanksgiving. That's okay. I'll eat canned spaghetti. You know, you don't do that to your kids.
My mother did that to me for years, the guilt.
Yeah, my grandmother did the same thing to me. You know, and you, don't do that. Your kids don't need it. They have enough things to worry about.
Yeah, exactly. It's an important part. Another thing that I think is on your list was the financial piece of it. And as we're older, we need to ease their burden of being financially responsible for us.
This is something that people don't think about, and it is very, very real. If you are like over 50 and getting a divorce, look, divorce is going, it hits everyone financially. If nothing else, you are going to take the money that used to be supporting one household and now expect it to support two households, right? So you're going to, everybody's going to be living on less. And then there's always the issues of, you know, people who were living above their means for years and finally divorce. It sort of forces the come to Jesus, so to speak, like, OMG, I don't have enough money to live on, let alone retire, right? So, and the other part of this equation that makes it a double whammy for people who are over 50 when they divorce is that you don't have enough time to make it up. I mean, when you get divorced and you're 20 and you're completely wiped out financially, you still have time to grow your savings, to make investments, to get a new job. That doesn't happen in the same way for people who are over 50. You just don't have enough time, right? So what happens if you spend all of your money on your divorce and fighting in your divorce, and then you're 60, 70, 80, and now it is time to retire and you don't have any money to retire on, or your health goes and you have issues, who is going to take care of you? Now, instead of leaving your money when you die to your kids, you don't have any money when you die. You don't have any money when you're alive. And now you're leaning on them to support you as well as their own family. That's not fair to your kids. So when you're going through a divorce, you got to think about, A, how much are you spending on attorney's fees and experts and all the other craziness that you can do in divorce? And how does that affect your future security? And also, you know, while you're still alive after your divorce, I mean, it sucks, but you might have to get a second job or a better job so that you can financially take care of yourself and not be a burden to your kids. I mean, no one wants that, but when you're going through a divorce, you're focused on the divorce. You're not focused on what's this going to mean to me financially 10 or 20 years down the road. And when you're older, you have to focus on that.
This has been so informative, because I think that it is opening a door that people aren't thinking of. And I run two local support groups, and most of the people that come in that are divorcing are over 50, and these challenges face them. So I hope that the information that you've provided with us today gets out to the rest of the world and gives them some tools so that they can better appreciate that their children are struggling or will have difficulties, and just be cognitive of how you treat them, how you approach them, and just empower them to get help and anything else that they might need. Do you have any closing thoughts on this for everybody?
You know, it's kind of just to wrap up all the same things that we said. How you go through your divorce matters. And so when you, whether you have adult children or young children, it's all the same. It's about going through your divorce with the least amount of animosity, trying to minimize the financial impact of your divorce on yourself and your kids, and taking the high road. And I know that's hard to do in divorce. And it's so tempting to sink to the lowest level because it feels good in the moment. But long term, if you take the high road, that's really where you're going to get the best result for you and for your kids, no matter how old they are.
And I wish that everyone has a smooth divorce. And I know that working with someone like you is going to help them make those decisions when it comes down to, you know, get out the hatchet, or what is the benefit to maybe a more peaceful settlement, maybe, you know, compromising a little bit more so that you don't affect your financial future, you don't lose everything and make yourself a burden on your children. There's so much to be learned from the information that you've shared with us today. So I want to thank you so much, and I am grateful that you've taken the time to, you know, enlighten the world here. So,
well, thank you for having me. I mean, this is something that I feel really passionate about, so I'm happy to share, and I hope it helps.
I hope so too. We're going to have your website along the bottom here so people can reach out to you and maybe get you to divorce coach them or help you through some things. And if they're in the Chicago area, they can work with you right there in person. So thank you so much for joining me, and we will see you soon.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me. Cool.